This week I asked our communications staff to write the story of an impromptu ministry that's been taking place in our church these past few weeks. Perhaps you already read it on page 2 of your worship bulletin this morning. If you are new to NPC today, let me just say we are a church without a working elevator. However, we are also a church with a lot of heart. For weeks, our property staff and volunteer leaders have been hard at work to attain parts no longer manufactured for the carriage that takes people from the fellowship hall downstairs up to this level where the sanctuary is, and then at the end of the services back down again. And as we have awaited those parts, we have had a team of quiet volunteers who have lined up every Sunday morning down at the parking lot entrance in their own cars, ready to transport those who need a lift up to this place of worship. Our summer Sunday school is focusing on the parables. And the parable of the NPC elevator is one of a very patient congregation, an administrative staff constantly rescheduling meeting places, work crews hauling tables and chairs up and down flights of stairs without complaint, ministry groups adapting to different spaces to accomplish the same common mission. It's a story of a church with many members working together so we might rejoice together in faith and in worship. As we read from Paul's letter to the Christians in Corinth this morning, let us take his words to them into our own hearts. To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together who, with all those in every place, call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, today we recognize and rejoice in the fact that we are called not just individually, but also collectively to worship and serve you in Christ's name. Equip us, we pray, in our hearing of your word today to rejoice together in your Spirit's presence within and among us. And in our rejoicing, may we find ourselves living a new kind of life, one which is worthy of our calling in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever, in your life of Christian witness, had someone tell you that they do not believe in the institution of the church? I'm guessing you have. It has become accepted wisdom among many in our society that God doesn't really need or expect us to be part of the church. Sometimes this idea comes from a distrust of authority, especially when authority has been abused in the church. Sometimes it comes from a strong ethic of individualism, a virtue of American life. Sometimes folks just become cynical and ponder scenarios such as, well, if I were stranded on an island, wouldn't I be good with God? After all, I couldn't join a church then. To which I always like to respond, yes, if you are stranded on an island, God can make an exception in your place. But until we find ourselves on such an island, we need the church. All of us need the church. Even our own Presbyterian Westminster Confession is so bold to define the church as the house and family of God through which people are ordinarily saved, and union with which is essential to their best growth and service. I just love the very careful wordings we find in the theology and confessions of our church. Did you notice that phrase, through which people are ordinarily saved? That, in my mind, is an affirmation of God's sovereignty, God's ability to act in people's lives precisely as He wishes, to touch with grace those both inside and outside the church. God can do that. God gets to make those calls. Thanks be to God. But the confession retains the idea that under ordinary circumstances, like it or not, we are the regular, ordinary people. None of us an island. We are called to live out our faith within the family of God as members of the body. And it's through our participation in the life of the body that we come to know not only our salvation in Christ, but how to live out that salvation day to day. And it's in that day to day living out of faith together in Christian community that we are continually being remade in the image of God. Presbyterian writer Kathleen Norris likens the church to a lot of rough rocks collected into a plastic container and shaken for years until eventually they all come out smooth stones. And I'm guessing a lot of dust. And that theology of the church isn't just made up. It comes from Scripture. See verse 19 in our passage from Paul this morning. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And earlier in verse 13, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. When Paul writes, if all were a single member, where would the body be? He's affirming that we were made, even designed, to live our faith in communion with one another. To live out our faith otherwise is to live contrary to God's design for our lives. You remember last week we spoke about giving witness. I think Paul affirms in this passage that we are called to give witness not only by how each of us lives our lives on our own, but truly in how we live our lives together as a community of faith. And the witness that we give as a community of faith. It's for each of us to ask every day, what is the witness of the National Presbyterian Church? What are we saying to the community around us by how we are living out our faith with one another? Is our witness one where all the members of the body are working in common purpose, rejoicing together in God's presence? When I see stories like I've read in this morning's bulletin, I give thanks for things like broken elevators that give us opportunity to live out our calling to serve God and one another in the unity of Jesus. Don't get me wrong, we are still going to fix the elevator. I don't want to get any more emails with the word elevator in the subject line. Really, I don't. But you know as well as I do that the best so often comes out of us when the worst is happening around us. Amen? I've seen it too many times in the pastorate. Out of the corner of the church comes a voice, a prayer, a ministry of grace from one or two saints that no one else is paying attention to, who remind the whole body of why we're here and what we are about. I don't know if you know this about our church staff, but we pray for you a lot. as we know you pray for us. Every Tuesday morning at 10:30, somewhere between 25 and 30 of us gather in the church parlor to talk about our work. The meeting usually starts with Dr. Eisnogel reading a passage of Scripture and offering his insights on that passage. And then others around the table will share their own insights about what they have heard in God's Word that day. And after we finish all of that, we finally get down to the business of the church. We take out the blue prayer sheet, a very prayer sheet that many of you use every week as you pray for the members of the church and that you can find on the information table. And from that list, someone will read the names of people who are in the hospital, those who have died, those who are recently born, those who are requesting help, those who just have good news to share with the church. And in that sharing, the witness of the members of this congregation comes through. It's a time when those of us who work at the church day by day get to speak of the impact that members and friends of this congregation have or are still making on our own lives. Through the witness of our members, we as a staff are strengthened in our faith. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. For we are one in the Spirit, baptized into one body, and we are made all to drink of one Spirit. And the body is not limited to this place. It spans around the world. As much as I do not love email, I love the way that the good news about the body of Christ can be widely shared through email. You'll see this week our mission emphasis in the bulletin is on the ministry going on at the Russian American Christian University. And this week I received a message from friends and colleagues of mine, Pastor Bob and Stacy Bronkema, who don't work at that university but are involved in another mission in Moscow. They sent me an update by email about their work in Moscow for this past year. Over a year ago, Bob and Stacy and their four girls and their very big dog came and stayed in our house for a couple of nights in Chicago before we moved to Washington, D.C. They were traveling across the country to visit all their family and friends before they embarked in this new chapter in their life and ministry. And to this day, I'm not sure if the dog also made it to Moscow. Their ministry is focused on the needs of homeless people in Moscow, many non-Russians who often experience violence at the hands of extreme nationalists and racist street gangs. Many of them are afraid to go out in the street because of the dangers that they face day to day. And Bob and Stacy are very much in the middle of that ministry and in the circumstances of their lives. Stacy wrote in her email message an update about their ministries, about a defining moment that their ministry had regarding a vulnerable family. This past month, she writes, a family in our soup kitchen had tragedy strike. They are a mother, let's call her Galina, and her daughter, let's call her Irja. They are both homeless and are considered disabled by the Russian government. Because of this, they are able to take part in our ministry. One day, Irja disappeared. She was found 2 days later, beaten and in a coma. Her mother stayed by her side until she passed away at the age of 32. She was a sweet young woman who knew quite a bit of English. Bob often saw her on the metro and always enjoyed her smiling face. A few days later, we had a memorial service for her at the soup kitchen. Nearly a dozen volunteers from all over the world, the United States, Spain, Germany, the Czech Republic, Brazil, came to give their respects to Irja and show their sorrow with Galina. And Bob was able to pray and preach a short sermon based on Jesus' promise to gather the children. For many of the clients and volunteers, it was a unique opportunity to hear the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. It was also a time for us to show our true ministry, which hopes to feed not only the physically hungry, but the spiritually hungry as well. Reading their letter this week was an opportunity for me to hear about how the body of Christ can be at its very best, when impossible challenges and hardships come. And an affirmation of our words from Paul this morning, the members of the body that seem to be weaker, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body we think less honorable, we clothe in greater honor. If one member suffers, we all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together in it. This is the church in this place and around the world through which we ordinary people are called to live out an extraordinary life in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Loving Father, together we make up your church, the beginnings on earth of your eternal kingdom. Help us to hasten the coming of your kingdom in the ways we live out our common life. We need you, and we need each other. In Jesus' name. Amen.